This is News Talk.
Well, I suppose we'll get the good news out of the way first, and the front of all of the papers have fantastic pictures of Kelly Harrington coming home to Dublin last night. It's the front page story for the Mirror. Gold to be home. Emotional Kelly Harrington broke down in tears as the Olympic champion was given a hero's welcome on her return home yesterday. The most lovely videos as well, I have to say, on social media of the big homecoming as thousands lined the streets of Dublin, Dublin's North Inner City, as the Mirror says, as the Golden Girl paraded on an open-top bus. And she said, she admitted it was weird to be the centre of attention. She said, as boring as it sounds, I just want to put my feet up, drink tea and have scones or cakes, don't we all? Except she has a reason for it. It's also the front of the Irish Sun, which has a great photograph there of Kelly Harrington with Simba, a teddy of Simba from The Lion King. And as the Sun says, Simba of pride, Olympic golden girl Kelly Harrington waved her medal and a Simba toy over her head as she received a hero's welcome home yesterday. One fan tossed her a Simba toy from The Lion King, a nod to the fighter's Tokyo Games catchphrase Hakuna Matata, and Kelly beamed, "My community is absolutely smashing." I mean, talk about good PR for the area. We all want to live around that area now, just for the sense of community spirit. To other news, and this is on the front of the Irish Daily Mail this morning, setback on maternity. Quite extraordinary to think many, many months later that we're still talking about restrictions in maternity hospitals. But Ireland's largest maternity hospital has said it won't ease restrictions for loved ones, despite promises from the HSE that strict rules would soon be lifted. The Rotunda Hospital said it's overcrowded and lifting restrictions could lead to a COVID outbreak. It comes, as the Mail says, amid a growing chorus for maternity hospitals to loosen the strictures in place on partners of pregnant women accompanying them. And the Mail has quite a harrowing piece today from a husband sharing his heartbreaking story of being stuck in the pouring rain after his wife suffered a miscarriage. And, you know, if you're a regular listener to this station, we've had so many people on News Talk, like the Taoiseach, the HSE CEO, the Chief Clinical Officer, all saying restrictions should be lifted, but they're still in place at a number of hospitals. And I should mention in particular the Hard Shoulder here on News Talk. They've been covering this for many, many weeks and months now, and no doubt Kieran will continue to cover it, given that it hasn't been resolved yet for pregnant couples out there. The Irish Independent talks about evening and weekend clinics, which are going to be available in a bid to boost the vaccine rollout to children, 280,000 of them aged between 12 and 18. Hundreds of pharmacies have signed up to give the COVID jab to this age group, and many are planning to provide special out-of-hours clinics. We'll have more on this on Breakfast Briefing shortly when we hear from Dara O'Loughlin from the Irish Pharmacy Union. But essentially, we've a doubling now of pharmacies offering the Pfizer vaccine from this week. The Irish Times goes with mixing vaccines, something which Professor Luke O'Neill is a big fan of, if you listen to him on the Pat Kenny Show. And now the Department of Health has sought legal advice on mixing COVID-19 vaccines made by different manufacturers due to the impact of going off-label and mixing vaccines in a way not included in clinical trials. Legal input has had to be sought from the Attorney General's Office and other agencies before it's passed to Minister Stephen Donnelly for a final decision. So we wait and see. For example, you know, if you got the AstraZeneca vaccine, then to get a Pfizer booster or something like that. I don't know exactly, but we shall see what happens, what the decision is. One would imagine they'll look very closely at what other countries are doing, because obviously there are other countries which are doing this, so you'd have to see what the evidence is like in those countries. Staying with health matters, the front of the Irish Examiner, pretty damning report into the state of our hospitals. Patients are facing more cancelled operations unless structural failures in the health system are urgently addressed. That's the warning from medical unions following a scathing report by HICWA, the health watchdog. It found that hospitals were hampered in managing COVID-19 because of long waiting lists, overcrowding and staff shortages, as well as ageing buildings. Not a very positive report into the health service in this country, and they've a big interview in the Examiner with the Irish Hospital Consultants Association, as we say, warning that operations are likely to be cancelled if we don't address these issues. Now, obviously, big focus this week has been on climate change because of that report into the climate emergency facing the world. And the Irish Times has been looking at retrofitting, and the government is going to have to choose between retrofitting houses, obviously to make them more energy efficient, or building new houses. So they can't do both, all because there's a shortage of qualified workers. That's the warning from Professor John Fitzgerald, former chair of the Climate Change Advisory Council. And he's warning that up to 20,000 specialists are needed to retrofit houses every year. But those workers are already in short supply. And obviously we're dealing with a housing crisis. So it looks like a big decision is going to have to be made. Do you retrofit or do you build more houses when you don't have enough workers to do both, according to John Fitzgerald? It's a big piece there in the Irish Times if you want to read about it. Staying with housing, the Irish Independent looks this morning at the more expensive houses out there. Obviously, as you know, house prices going up and up. But if you're at the higher end of the market, if you're looking for a so-called trophy house, well, there's big discounts on offer. Buyers of expensive trophy homes are getting huge reductions on asking prices. An examination of sale prices on the property price register shows that there are large discounts being secured by buyers at the top end of the market. Now, you might think, well, that's very good news. That'll all sort of trickle down. You start with the most expensive houses, they're getting cheaper. Maybe that'll come the whole way down the market. Apparently not. Experts in the Irish Independent say this does not mean that cheaper houses are on the way for the rest of us, I'm sorry to tell you. Between June and July of this year, more than 130 homes sold for more than €1 million. And in the cases where asking price information was still available, over one third of houses at the highest end sold for less than the asking price. To give an example of one house, a former embassy in Dublin 4, it sold for €1 million below its €2.5 million asking price. So I'm sure many of you will be looking for houses over €1 million or €2 million and you'll be interested in that. Lovely story in the Irish Examiner. We are told that it's not just humans who missed contact with each other during lockdown. Donkeys are leaping around as soon as they see people. This is according to the Donkey Sanctuary's country manager, Laura Foster, who says the donkeys are very social animals and it's quite clear they miss the interaction with the public. So now when people are going to sanctuaries, the donkeys are going mad, jumping up and down, so excited to actually see people because they used to love human interaction, love to be petted, and they've shown a lot of enthusiasm for people arriving. And the sanctuary cares for over 1,200 donkeys at a number of farms in the North Cork area. So that's lovely to see. Now, a couple of final stories for you. One comes from the Times of London. It's an English story, but probably relevant here too. Marriage rates among the over 65s have increased more than in any other age group over the past decade. People over 65 flat out getting married, and it seems the reason being that they're increasingly taking up online dating. The increase in the number of marriages among older people has contributed to a rise in the average age for couples of opposite sexes to wed to 38. So the age is going up and up and up for when people decide to get married. And finally, also from the Times of London, if you're trying to get your head around how to text a young person, well, first it was not using vowels in texts, then it was not using full stops in WhatsApp messages. Now, in a development that's even more confusing, it seems certain emojis are out of bounds because people in the Generation Z age bracket, that's those born between the late 1990s and early 2010s, they're making a stand against millennials' use of emojis. A smiley face emoji in a text or email can be seen as patronising or passive aggressive, according to teenagers in their 20s. One teenager, Hafizat Bishi, said she was taken aback when she started an internship at a digital media firm and her colleagues greeted her with the bright smiley face emoji. God forbid that your colleagues might be nice to you. She said she didn't see the message as warm, but she saw it as dismissive and she doesn't consider it to be a genuine smile. It's very hard to keep up with all these young people. Anyway, those are the stories making the headlines.
On 106 to 108 FM and newstalk.com, this is Newstalk.